Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Tonight I want to talk about holding fast your confession of faith.
All right. Amen.
Holding fast your bold confession of faith. Mm-hmm. See, the enemy knows where the power is at. And he wants your words. Because he's already been stripped. Colossians 2:15 says, you know, that Jesus stripped the enemy. You know, powers, the principalities and powers, he's already stripped. The devil's been stripped. He has no authority except what you give him. He's after your words. And the Bible is plain, it's clear that you are to hold fast. And tonight we're talking about your bold confession of faith. Now turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 10, and let's look at the mission. Of course, John 10:10, we all know it, but let's look at it anyway. And he tells us the mission of the devil. And it tells us Jesus' mission upon this earth, he came to do. John 10:10, and it says, I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's his mission. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, the Amplified Bible says, Jesus, his part, says, I come that they may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's God's version of life for us upon this earth. It's not just getting by. It's not just, well, you know, if I just make it. No, God, we are overcomers.
Amen.
And we have to get into the Word and find out what belongs to us. Get into the Word and find out, hey, you know, all these promises, all the inheritance that God has given us is in the Word. And the more knowledge we have of His Word, the more we're going to know what belongs to us. We'll know what to speak boldly because what? It belongs to us. And here again, the devil comes and his very first mission is to steal. That's the key word I want to kind of focus on. Because if he can steal, then the rest of it's kind of like a domino effect. Then he's got an opening to kill. Then to finish you off, destroy. The power of words. Now we're going to 10 weeks ago, we were in the book of Hebrews. And one of the main theme in the book of Hebrews, it's pretty easy, is holding fast your confession. It's one of the main themes in the book of Hebrews. Now, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 32. And this is what I call, verse 32 is the crime scene. The people were under heavy oppression. The adversary has come down on them with persecution. The Bible says that the thief, well, actually, I think it's in Mark chapter 4, verse 17, Satan comes for the... I'll get this right. Affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake. In other words, when they were enlightened. It says there, in verse 30, let's just go ahead and read it. Verse 32, it says, Hebrews 10:32, but recall the former days in which, after you were enlightened or illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you become companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourself in heaven. Now I'm going to stop right there, because I have read commentary after commentary to the point I don't want to read any more commentaries. I about spent 30 minutes on one just to find out that I wasted 30 minutes of my life that I can't get back. Yeah, we have an enduring possession in heaven. But in heaven, it's our inheritance. It's according to His riches in glory. That's our supply. I don't have to wait till I die to enjoy the benefits. I get it. I know some of these. I get it. I realize we do have rewards in heaven. I realize that to enjoy the full benefit of our inheritance, you will have to get out of this fleshly body. It's going to take a glorified body. So we're limited on this earth how much we can actually receive. But let me tell you, there's a lot to receive. All right? So you don't listen to some of the commentaries, all right? It acts like, you know, well, you just hang on, just hang on, just hang on. You mean I got to drive this 69 Ford Maverick for the rest of my life? Yes, because your reward's in heaven. Just be quiet and just be content with what you got. You know, I want all that abundant life that we just talked about. Yes, sir. I serve a God who loves to lavish His love upon His children. I want to take part of that. Listen, we are partakers of that. Amen. Not just waiting, not just hanging on till we get to heaven. No, we're to be bold right now on this earth, because saints, we have a commission to do on this earth. Our commission is to go forth and make disciples of the nations. That's going to take anointing. It's going to take money. It's going to take some resources. So how are you going to do that if you're just barely getting by, waiting for your reward in heaven? That type of thinking is going to limit you and what you can do for the kingdom of God. This, we are to advance the kingdom. And here we see that they are I have to admit, I love America. And I can find myself being spoiled a little bit. You know, you go to a restaurant, I can't believe my Big Mac is a little cool here. You know, something like that's kind of stupid, isn't it? You really think about it. People are losing their lives. We just read here, they lost their possessions, some of their land, yet they maintained a joy. They weren't griping and complaining. And it goes on. Let's go on. It says, verse 35. Therefore, I'm reading this New King James. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. Now, I'm going to read, I really like what the King James Version says. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. I really like that. Now let's break that down a little bit, because this is going to be a key, saints. This is how we live. This word confidence, you look us up in the Greek, it means boldness of speech. The word reward says payment of wages due. And here again in the, the word recompense means reimbursement. It means settlement. It means restitution for damage and injury. So what it's saying here is don't let go of your bold confession of faith, because there is a reward. Payment due now. In the Greek, you got to do a little research, but it's payment due, not when you get, yes, there is payment or there is a reward in heaven, but I'm talking about here on earth. There is a harvest due now. If you hold fast to your confession of faith. I know it sounds easy, but when persecution starts to arise for the word's sake, it's easy, especially when you've been waiting, like these people. They've been waiting for a while. They've been enduring for a while. And now they're under pressure. There seems to be a possibility that they could let go of their confession. In other words, they're in a heavy trial. Things aren't going their way, but yet they're maintaining joy. Come on. And God's response is, hold fast to your bold confession. There is payment due now on this earth. Not in the sweet by and by. It's here on this earth. You know, the angel, I'm my mind's going back to Mary. The angel told Mary, all things are possible with God. And in the Greek, you read that, in a literal Greek, it says, no word spoken by God is without power. So your confession, what is it? That's just God's word in your mouth. No word that you speak is without power that comes from God. You know, Jesus would speak to the fig tree. He would speak to the storm, not just because the fig tree could hear, not just because the storm could hear, which they could, but because Jesus had to release words that he heard the Father speak. He only spoke what he heard. Jesus had a 100% success record. He never spoke his own opinion. He never spoke just any idle word. Everything was precision. Everything was from the Father. And saints, that is how we're supposed to operate. We should. I'm not there yet. I'm just saying, and I shouldn't say theory, but in theory, we should have a 100% success record in our prayer life. Yeah. Jesus said, if my words abide in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, now ask what you will. Why? Because you're going to pray what's on the inside of you. You're going to pray the abiding word, which is His word. So you're going to be praying the answer, not the problem. So you're not going to be praying something that's not in His will. You're praying His word, which is His will. So it's really simple. You just abide. He's saying just abide. It's John 15, verse 7. You abide in me, my words abide in you. Now you can call forth. Now you can ask. It's not a big deal. It's pretty simple. You're just getting in alignment, a vertical alignment with Him. Jesus is your high, He is your apostle, which means, if you study that out in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, He is your, Jesus, it says, consider. You know, I'm just going to go with this. What you consider is what you become sensitive to. It's very close to meditation. It's a cousin. What you're focusing on, what you're considering, is what you will become very sensitive to. That's why in Hebrews it talks about a hardened heart. Whenever the Israelites, they were constantly considering the problem. Not so much the word. What happened? They became sensitive to the problem and not to the word. In other words, they became hardened to God's way. And I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be sin. It could be whatever you're focusing on. It could be something that's not even sin, but you're just not focused right. When Jesus called Peter out of the boat, there was no problem, right? He walked right on the water. Why? Because he was considering the word. In other words, his heart was faith is of the heart. So he was able to do what God said. But as soon as he refocused or got his attention or started to consider something else, all of a sudden now he's not as sensitive to the word. Something else took its place. Now there's an opening for the enemy, fear, to come on in, all because of what he considered. You go back to Abraham. Abraham considered not his body. He only considered the promises of God. In other words, he became more sensitive to the promises of God. And once God changed his name, things started happening, right? My name's Abraham. So he's got now the words in his mouth. Now he's really sensitive. And within a year, Isaac came. I'm telling you, it's like day and night. It's what we're considering. Bible says we consider Jesus. Jesus is the Word. We are to consider Him. Like Pastor Mark talked about, the Word should be in your mouth day and night. That's how much we should consider. Not just a passing glance, and not just, well, yeah, I know about that. I heard about that. No, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. What you're paying attention to, what you're considering, is going to be like day and night to your heart. You got to keep your heart very pliable, very soft for the things of God. Because that's your birthing center. The spirit man is where everything happens. Everything. You receive the seed from in the inner man. It's the ground on the inside. Everything. It is your production center. You have to keep the garden soft and pliable to receive the Word of God, to grow the Word of God, to cultivate the Word of God. Your harvest is all within you. It's not out there. It's not over here. The kingdom of God's not, it's not there or here. It's in within, Jesus. It's within. So, back to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it says, this is to consider Jesus, the apostle, in other words, appointed, anointed, and sent for you. Right. For what? As one of his priestly duties is a high priest over your confession. Yeah. He watches over your word. So confession just means say the same thing, right? So whenever you say what he says, it's like we just talked. That's the word that's an abiding in you. So now he takes that word and he confesses it to the Father. He takes that word and confesses it to the angels. Now we got things moving in our direction. But it all started because you considered. It all starts right at that point. It's what you're considering. If you're, Pastor Chuck, you don't understand this COVID, this virus 19, it's something. That's something. It's from the pit of hell. And it's driven by hell. Fear. So, yeah. It can be. It all depends if you're considering it. If you're giving it all your attention, you're considering it over the word, what can I do for you? You just left yourself wide open. Amen. It says, a great recompense of reward. In other words, suffered damage. Listen, they lost land, they've lost wealth, and that's exactly what he's talking about when he says recompense of reward. In other words, payback is due. Your wages, what you lost, is coming. It's going to come back. Amen. See, Joanne, you know, this because of this COVID or this 19, whatever, I don't even know what, I guess.
You're on track,
COVID. Yeah. I try not to even listen to it because it's really irritating. Joanne's employment, she has to give back 2 weeks. And when she, 2 weeks of pay. And when she told me that, I'm thinking, what? Say, the old saying, say what? Did I hear that right? And I thought, you the feathers got kind of roughed up there, I thought, well, okay, my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And some versions say by, but really it should be in Christ Jesus. So I'm thinking, okay, then a small voice kind of raised up in me, and it said, is that it? And I said to myself, it is what it is. Then I said to myself, I'm not going to lose no sleep over this. So I kind of left it go. Then I started thinking about this. I'm thinking, wait a minute. We've been robbed. You're saying, well, what are you talking about, Pastor Chuck? We being robbed. Well, because Joanne and I lost the opportunity to present our tithe to the Lord. We lost our opportunity to give offerings. I'm talking because zero is zero. Now, we can still give offerings, but zero is still zero. So the enemy has robbed us of our opportunity to worship, to give tithe, and to get, I don't even own myself. The way I look at finances is I've been bought with a price. It's how I look at it. I've been bought with a price. I don't own myself. Everything I have, I just consider it's the Lord's. It keeps my giving pure. I don't want my giving contaminated by greediness. I just don't want to follow Jesus for the fish and loaves. I just don't want to get what just, you know, my name's Jimmy, just give me.
Yeah, right.
I don't even want to be associated with that. So I go to extreme. So that's how I do it. Money comes in, my left side, I take it in. Now some of that seed, some of it's bread. Lord, what do you want to do? Now, tithe is tithe. It's the Lord's. We worship the Lord. We spend time privately and corporately. We give gifts or offerings. Usually, those offerings are set each month. But I always look for opportunity to give into good ground. We never stop looking, right? It's just how we live. So we're always looking for opportunity to give in the ground. But we were robbed of that opportunity. Because zero is zero. Now, I know I may be going a little extreme. We're just talking 2 weeks. But still, he came into our, you know. Now, we're not talking about flesh and blood. We're talking about Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, so it's not your next door neighbor. It's not your employer.
Right.
Actually, you should speak a blessing over your employer. You should speak, walk in love towards him. Peter talked about that. But anyway, the point is, we were robbed, and now the Lord's asking us, what are you going to do about it? And the Lord gave us a word in season. No one prophesied over us, no, but something just came up in us. Remember Jesus in the wilderness? Well, turn with me to, let's just go there. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 17, or I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. It's called a rhema word, a word in season. You ever heard of that before? Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. This is why I'm trying to get the B part in verse 17. It says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yet that is what we call a rhema word or a spoken word. Now, when the Holy Spirit gives you a word to speak, you got to speak it or it's not spoken.
Right.
Other words, it's a rhema, but it's not going to do you any good. It's only when it's spoken that it comes good. That word sword of the Spirit, that word sword means it means judicial punishment. You are to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You are to speak that word, which what it does, it brings a judicial punishment against the devil. In other words, it puts him in place. Even though we have authority over him, he will try to go rogue on you. He will try let me put it this way. We have to enforce the victory over him. You have to keep him under your foot. If you give him any place, he will try to do his thing against you. In other words, he'll use your words. That's why you got to watch your words, because he'll use your words against you, because he has no authority. But anyway, so the Lord gave us a word. Just like, you remember Jesus in the wilderness? Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. That was a word, a rhema word. It just wasn't any word. And each time, what did Jesus do? He had to speak it. Or else it wouldn't be a rhema, or it wouldn't be a spoken word. So he had to speak. It was three times. Where did he get the word? You remember? There's a belt. The Bible says that we are to put on the whole armor of God. Verse chapter 6. Put on the whole armor. Verse 10. And one of those pieces is the belt of truth. The belt of truth is what you put around you. The belt of truth upholds basically the whole armor. It upholds stuff. Your sword, it holds your sword, it holds everything in place. The Bible says he upholds all things by the power of his word. So Jesus, we see, is well versed in the word. His belt is loaded with the word. The Holy Spirit is able to pull from that belt what he needed at that time. So I'm saying to you, the more word that you have, the better chance that you will have when you're in trial and when you need a word in season. You got to have your belt loaded. Loaded for bear. Boy, say, oh, Pastor Chuck, I know so much word now, I don't know what to do with. You may need a word next season. And that word that you think you don't need, it may come into play. In other words, now the Holy Spirit can take that word. Listen, you need more than one highly polished, maintained bullet. I know, Barney, you keep a well-maintained bullet. It's bullet maintenance 101. Yes, hallelujah. But you know, Jesus did not quote Psalm 23. That's my favorite one. Now, if that's the only one I know, I guess I'd be quoting that all the time. But now the Holy Spirit's kind of limited. Who limited the Holy One? It sure wasn't God, or it was me. Because I'm not well versed. I need to be a student of the Word. It's just not head knowledge. It's not about how much I can memorize, but I'm talking about it's how much you can hide in your heart. It's not about just memorizing, because faith is not of the head. But yet knowledge is part of it. But you say it over and over and over and over until you come to, like Jesus said, it starts to abide in you. Now you're in a position that the Holy Spirit could pull that off, pull it out of your belt, and you can use it in your time of trial, time of season. Hallelujah. So back to the word that the Lord gave us was, actually we probably need to turn, I got that written down, was Proverbs 6:30. Go ahead and turn there, Proverbs 6, verse 30 and 31. See I don't know if I'm getting across very good, but the point, the more word you have, the more you can speak that word that the Holy Spirit's given you in season. There's times when I used to pray over my kids. It's hard, I find it hard now, to pray over the grandkids, because those kids are moving all the time. My kids, there are times when they're in bed or something, I would prophesy over them. And that's before I didn't know nothing. but I would speak the word over them. In other words, I would make a decree. You know, the Bible talks about you shall decree a thing. Actually, in the Greek, in Job 22:28, it should say you shall decree a decree. You're decreeing what he's decreed. You're not decreeing something you know. You're just in line. You're lining up. You're decreeing a decree. And the word decree means to cut. What does a sword do? It cuts. In other words, when you decree something, say, I got sickness in my body. Well, I can decree the word of God over my body. In other words, that decree cuts. It means to cut. It means to divide. It means to cut off and destroy. So I can speak over my body. I can decree over my body, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. And what's that doing? It's cutting the sickness from my body. That's the word of God. It's a two-edged sword. But it's not a two-edged sword until you get in your mouth. You become the second edge. So you, when you decree, you're actually cutting. And that covers not only your health, that covers every area in your life. Prosperity, it cuts. Prosperity, it cuts away lack. And you just go on down the line. But you have to decree it as a king. So what I'm teaching, what I'm doing, this is part one of an overlay. I have so much in me, I can't get it out. So this is part one of maybe 20. I don't know. Like I told Pastor Mark, I've been hitting it hard lately. In the Word, I've been hitting hard. I don't know what it is, but I'm in a season right now. I'm hitting it hard. But anyway, so you make a decree. You're cutting off what's under the curse. And you're the only one that can do it. You make the decree, and the Bible says it shall be established for you. So anyway, back to Proverbs, we're at chapter 6. And this is what he gave Joanne and I. Proverbs 6, verse 30 and 31. It says, people, this is King James, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up the substance of his house. Now I'm going to read this out of the CEV. I think it's really good. It says, in verse 30, it says, we do not put up with thieves. Even if one who steals for something to eat, and thieves who get caught must pay back seven times what was stolen or lose everything. The Amplified Bible says, in verse 31, it says, but if he is found, he must restore seven times. He must give the whole substance of his house, if necessary, to meet the fine. That was a word in season for Joanne and I concerning the loss of wages. In other words, you could say we took it to court with the word of God. In other words, we boldly enter into the throne room of grace. We made our petition before him, our great high priest, and we just quoted back to him his word. In other words, we issued a summons to the devil. We issued a notice to him that we found you, you're not getting by with it, and you're not going to get by with it. You're paying seven times, sevenfold. Amen. Well, you think about it. I mean, it's all through the Bible. You think about David at Ziklag, talking about being robbed. Robbed. they were hit pretty hard, and they were down, weren't they? But I love David. He made a choice. He made a choice not to stay down. He didn't wait for anyone to cheer him up. He didn't wait for the priest to come to him. He didn't wait for something good to happen. No, he made a choice to strengthen himself in the Lord. Then once he strengthened himself in the Lord, once he got in his presence, I believe he started thinking, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. So what does he do? I'd like to say this. It's just paraphrasing. David took it to court. Other words, what do you mean, Pastor Chuck? Other words, he inquired of the Lord. He got in his presence. What's the plan here? What should I pursue? What's going on? Will I overtake? And the Lord gives him a word. In season, for that time, right now, pursue, overtake, and recover all. He recovered all. And some. Isn't that a lot better than saying, well, like I said, it is what it is. I'm glad God is so patient with us. My first reaction, don't do what I did. Don't. Of course, I didn't say that out loud. Maybe that's some benefit. I said to myself, I don't know. I didn't release it. But he was patient with me. David, you study David. David was a man after God's own heart. David showed no mercy. Listen to this. He showed no mercy to the enemy. And I'm not going to get graphic on you, but David used his sword. Now, he's fighting flesh and blood. He showed no mercy to his enemies. He struck them down. Why? So they won't rise up again. We're doing the same thing, only spiritual. You issue punishment to him. And you don't want him rising up in that same level. I don't want him rising up in that same area. Well, if he does, listen, you imagine this. If all the Christians would take an attitude like, if you mess with me, enemy, devil, you're going to pay back sevenfold. Do you really think that he would try something else new on you? He may try a new tactic or a new, you know, he's very deceptive. But I guarantee you, he's not going to be repeating himself over and over again because he's losing big time, sevenfold. See, he steals. See, we got riches and glory, right? Devil copies everything God does. He's got his riches. It's called riches in dark places. He's got it hidden. It's in the world's economy. It's the world's wealth. So he'll steal from us to feed his economy. And that's another thing that gets me going. So he's going to pay back sevenfold. And it's going to come from his treasure. That's punishment to him. Abraham Lot. Right? Lot, or his nephew Lot was taken captive. If it was me, I would say, well, too bad. Being a thorn in my side. Should have left you. I don't know why I brought you. But he was taken captive. And as soon as Abraham heard, immediately he gathered up, I think, 300 people, 300 of his servants, and he went after it. And the Bible says he recovered all and then some. Yeah. It's the children of Israel when they left it, when they left Egypt. 400 years. 400 years. Well, God heard their cry, and then God raises up Moses. Moses gives Pharaoh a summons, right? Let my people go. That's a decree. But it took Moses 10 of them. He had to do that 10 times, right? You recall the story? You want to talk about a big payday, a recompense. 400 years. After that 10th time, after that 10th summons, Pharaoh had to give it up. And the Bible says that they stripped him of all their wealth. And historians say this, I guess it's true, I don't know, but the nation of Egypt was never the same after that. The plunder was so great. That's recompense. The devil had to pay back. Egypt took a hit. The world system took a hit. And God's people flourished. Now, I don't want to go down that track of waiting 400 years. But the point is, recompense, wages are due now. Because of if he's inflicted damages on you, you can boldly decree. Now here again, I'm not going to stand up here and say, well, I want you to take Proverbs 6, 30 and 31 and use it in your life. That has to be a quickening. You can use it. But I'm just saying, it was a quickening word for Joanne and I. I'm just saying. So anybody could use it. But the point I'm trying to make is, what's God telling you? Do what the Lord tells you, what the Holy Spirit's telling you. Because we all have different flavors. Your word in season may not be probably not going to be the same as my word in season. But we're all getting to the same place. That's a bountiful harvest. But we'll have to follow the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is load up with the Word. Our tool belt, not tool belt, but our Word of Truth belt should be loaded. Our heart should be loaded with the Word of God. So when the time comes, the Holy Spirit can pull that Word for you to speak. In other words, basically what you're doing, you're taking it right to court. God, I think it's in Hebrews chapter 12, it says God is the judge of all. And get this, the devil has already been judged. He's already been condemned to hell. His fate is already sealed. His armor's been stripped. It's done. It's a finished work. But what we have to do is keep we got to hold fast to the Word. We hold fast to your bold confession because there's payday coming.
Amen.
Yeah. So, John, just I'm closing. So what we did, and I don't do this. We don't do this. We do not take our money that we're going to give in offerings and tally it up hundredfold, and then we don't do that. I've done it, and I won't do it again. I just won't do that. Even though there is seed time and harvest, even though you're not going to get away from it. I just don't get into that. I give as the Lord tells me, and I do it with gladness of heart, with joyfulness. And I know if I give, the Bible says, the measure coming back, come on. But so anyway, she tallied it up, ciphered it up like Jethro, did some ciphering. And so that's what we claimed, a sevenfold return. Guess what? He's going to pay it. Now, just like the children of Israel, God gave him favor. God gets involved. But it's coming out of his system. Amen. Did you get anything? Well, hallelujah. Hold fast. It's like it took Moses. I mean, he stuck with it, didn't he? Let my people go. You think after the fifth time he would have talked to God and said, "Well, could we change these words up a little bit?" He's not listening. And I like to go to the promised land, but he stuck with it. He kept the word in his mouth over and over 10 times, and finally the enemy had to let them go, and they left healthy and loaded. That's a picture of the church. The church should be healthy and loaded. In other words, we should have some influence. Actually, they should be coming to us. It's just not working out that way, but it should be. We're working on it. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.